In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, in the Masses of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday, and as well in the Mass for the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary, which we'll celebrate in a couple of weeks, the epistle contains the following well-known passage from the book of Ecclesiastes. I am the mother of fair love and of fear and of knowledge and of holy hope. Now, having read this epistle time and time again, we tend to think more about the love of Our Lady and the hope which we gain from our association with her. But to reference herself as the mother of fear has sometimes struck me as a bit odd. So after having considered today's gospel and in preparing this sermon, this little phrase I just quoted from the epistle came to mind. But it just might help us to better understand something our blessed Lord is trying to teach us in today's gospel. This morning's gospel contains the same word, fear, timere, which prompts certainly a little more thought. Today, the paralytic man was told to take courage, to be of good heart, depending on the translation that you read. The word in Latin is confidere, which means to have faith, but it can also mean to be not afraid. Do not fear. He was told not to be afraid any longer. In this same gospel, at the end, we read that the crowds were struck with fear, timuerunt, and they glorified God who had given such power to men. Now, what exactly is this fear that the scriptures are talking about? Fear, as we know, is a human emotion. There are such things as irrational fears, for example, the fear of black cats, fear of the number 13, the fear of heights, for example, the fear of touching anyone or anything for fear of infection. Some of the irrational fears have a rational basis. Bad things may befall us outside of our homes, and diseases can be contracted from other people. The irrationality comes from exaggerating the rational danger. We can think of the recent COVID crisis, perfect example. Much of what we saw was irrational fear at its best. The danger in irrational fear is that it keeps us from doing things which are useful and necessary and can even become harmful both personally and collectively, and can in fact harm the common good, which is something we don't want. And since it is irrational, there may be no way to overcome it, at least not through clear thinking. This is why we have people driving in their cars alone with masks on. Paralysis of thought. Sometimes such fears can leave us like the man in today's gospel, paralyzed. Fear can also be a rational thing and something good for us. A person who had no fear at all would likely not live very long. Fear rightly keeps us from stepping in front of that oncoming train. It keeps us out of burning buildings. It keeps us from drinking poison. It keeps us from foolhardy violence and gives us at least a minimal respect for authority and causes us to plan for the future. The man without fear may fall victim to 1,000 dangers which occupy the world in which we live, and reasonable fears can usually be overcome, or at least dealt with. A man can learn to deal with danger if he learns how to take the proper precautions. The danger may not go away, but it can be held to a reasonable statistic. Now, in a number of places in Holy Scripture, we hear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what kind of fear is this, the fear of the Lord? What else do we know about it? The book of Ecclesiastes, again, we also read, the fear of the Lord is honor and glory and gladness and joy. For the fear of the Lord is wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord shall delight the heart and give joy and gladness and length of days. With him that feareth the Lord, it shall go well in the latter end, and in the day of his death he shall be blessed. So we can see that this is not some sort of servile fear, not the kind of fear that would make us go run and hide. It's the sort of fear that made the crowd and the gospel want to glorify God, who gave power to such men. And the Baltimore Catechism tells us that the fear of the Lord is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost and defines it as the great awe and reverence of the Lord which keeps us from offending him by sin. We might compare this fear of the Lord to the very salutary fear we have of fire. We're absolutely right to fear fire in all its forms, and we take great pains to let it not start accidentally, not even from a match that is apparently out. But if we maintain our awe and our respect for fire, it can be of great comfort to cook our food, to warm our bodies, to chase away wild beasts, to provide an agreeable ambiance. But God is much the same. He's not exactly the same, but much the same. Provided we keep God in that reverence and awe of which the Catechism speaks, he'll be our greatest comfort and will see to our needs, both spiritual and material. Held in this awe, he will give us honor and glory and gladness and wisdom and discipline and joy in this world, and at the day of our death we shall be blessed. We don't have to look very far around us to see the terrible consequences of a world which seems to be totally without this fear, devoid of this fear of the Lord. We don't have to look far to see sin on a magnitude that would frighten any civilized person. Nobody even bothers to be scandalized by petty thefts, or some barroom fight, minor infidelities, or verbal obscenities. Even worse today, rampant looting, destruction of property and of life. Nobody even bothers to be bothered by attempted assassination. They even wish it. Any society having no respect for human life conducts wars against the innocent by air or sea or land, in the womb, and the petri dish is not civil. Those who should be in the roles of models in society are all too often caught where their hands don't belong. The church is no better, and often the perpetrators are also those who should be the role models, priests, bishops, and even popes, equally where they are caught where their hands don't belong. From the top down, religious and secular society seems to have lost all fear of God, even faith in God. Now, some of this can be remedied by human action. Politicians and prelates can be removed from places of authority if we demand it loudly enough. If we refuse to support one over the other just because he isn't as bad as the other guy. Politicians should be a reasonable facsimile of statesmen. Politicians aren't statesmen anymore. A bishop should be a reasonable facsimile of a saint. And perhaps that sounds a little overly optimistic. Maybe it is. But it would not be an unreasonable standard, at least, to strive for. And of course, there's very little we can do to convert others without our own good example. So all of us, ourselves, have to strive to have that great awe and reverence of our Lord, which keeps us from offending Him by sin. But like many issues of morality and public behavior, it may not be possible to depend on human effort, at least not exclusively. Fear of the Lord, after all, is a gift of the Holy Ghost, and that it's a gift suggests that it may not exist to any great degree to those who have not been given that gift by Almighty God Himself. So many things, and like many things, the problem of reintroducing this fear of the Lord into the modern world, we included, has to be solved with prayer, penance, and frequent reception of the sacraments. We look at our Lord Jesus Christ, too, in curing this paralytic in today's gospel, inspire the crowds to fear and glorify God. Why should His word and works not inspire us to do the same things? Inspire those in the church and civil society to do the same. Without a doubt, they should. So, my dear friends, since Our Lady is our patroness, should we not always be mindful of those beautiful words which the church attributes to her in her many masses? And being mindful of them, should we not go to her and beseech her to teach us the way of fear? I am the mother of fair love and of fear, and of knowledge and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and virtue. He that hears me shall not be confounded, and they that work in me shall not sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.